So I've been talking about hearing the voice of God. Hear God's voice. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hear God's voice. Do you? And respond, yes, I hear God's voice. Now, how do you know that you hear God's voice? How do we know that we hear God's voice? Somebody may be here this morning said, I've never heard God's voice. Well, we're going to talk through some more of that this morning. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. But let's start out. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's just start out here in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. This is kind of a foundational scripture. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. It's not in us to direct our steps ourselves. Scripture says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction and death. And so guess what? We need help. Can somebody say, I need help? I can't do it on my own. How many of you tried to do it on your own and found out that sometimes you just messed it up? How many of you messed it up so bad that there was no way to fix it? Can I see a show of hands? No. Some people say, no, I don't want to confess that. And you found out that this scripture is absolutely true. But Jesus came, God came. Jesus came as God in the flesh so that he would ever be with us. I talked last week that one of the most important things that Jesus did, the reason that he came, wasn't just to forgive us our sins, okay? It was actually to restore our relationship with God. Our sins separated us from God, and we were spiritually dead. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to Satan. We were enslaved to death. You know, if you've ever dealt with an addiction, a stronghold, something that was a struggle that you've never felt like that you could get free from, it was because you were born that way and the old nature was enslaved to it. But Jesus came to set you free completely. He said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So he came to forgive you of your sin. He took your judgment for your sin and he removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. And he said, your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. So if he doesn't remember, I don't need to remember them. But the whole point is so that I could have restored relationship with him. Absolute, come boldly into the throne room of grace, Hebrews 4 tells us, and that we may, I think that's verse 16, that I may find grace to help in my time of need. I can come boldly. But one of the ways that Jesus did that is by sending the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, I want you to stay in Jerusalem until you receive not a promise, but the promise of the Father, till you receive the Holy Spirit, till he comes on you. Because Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Somebody say power.
Power.
You will receive power. And this isn't a fictional power. This isn't a, I wish I had power. This is a tangible, manifested power and presence of God to live in you, to flow through you, to flow out of you to other people. He said, and then you'll be witnesses. You're a witness after you've got the power. You're a witness after you've got the power. Praise God. And so they stayed in Jerusalem, and in Acts chapter 2, as they're praying, they're there in one accord, and all of a sudden the room started being, they heard a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Have y'all heard the wind here lately? You know, with all these storms that's come through. I mean, the wind just blowing. It was so loud, it said it filled the house where they were sitting. And then all of a sudden, fire erupted and sat on each one of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so as they all began to speak in tongues, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what they were saying. But then all of a sudden people came together because they heard the sound of wind that came to this house. And they didn't know what was happening, but they started hearing people talk in their own languages, glorifying God, talking the mysteries of God and giving praise to God. And so Peter stood up and said, "This is that." Somebody say, "This is that." Which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, "I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy." That's for everybody. He said, and my handmaidens and my servants, those that yield to me, they will prophesy. And the old man shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions. And what this is telling me is that there is no distinction. There is no difference. Age doesn't qualify you to hear from God. Your gender doesn't qualify you from hearing from God. Your race doesn't qualify you to hear from God. That in Christ, there's no male, there is no female, there is no old, there is no young, there is no poor, there is no rich, there is no black, there is no white. All of us are the same, and all of us have been given an unlimited measure of the Spirit of God that's available right now on the inside of us. Jesus said, "Out of your belly shall flow rivers." Somebody say rivers.
Rivers.
It's not just one river. Rivers. Yeah. Rivers. It's not a little trickle that comes up every now and then. It's a flood. It's a river. It is a gushing gully washer. That's what we used to call it here in the South. We've had some gully washers of rains that's been coming down lately. Rivers. And it's tangible. And you can experience that. And this is one way that you can hear from the voice of God. And so Jesus said in John chapter 10, how do we know that we hear the voice of God? He said, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "I am the shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice, and I lead them out." Now, he said that as a statement of fact. I want to challenge you this morning. And if you're new here, maybe you haven't heard it quite this way, but I want to challenge you this morning that we must move, that a believer, those that have yielded their lives to Christ, they move from a place of filtering their doctrine or filtering the word through their experience. In other words, for a long time, we grew up being very five sense oriented, very natural oriented, what we see, what we feel, what we hear, all of the what we experience sometimes tends to shape our theology, tends to shape our doctrine. And so we tend to filter that. So even when it comes to hearing the voice of God, what we might do is say, "Well, I haven't heard his voice. I can't hear his voice. I'd like to hear his voice." And so most Christians actually don't know what it means to hear the voice of God. I want to challenge you to shift your thinking to agreeing with what Jesus said. In other words, your starting place isn't your experience. Your starting place isn't what your past is, and your starting place isn't what your desire is. Your starting place as a believer is, what does Jesus say? Now, this can be life-changing. This was life-changing for me, and I don't have time to go into all the different ways that it was life-changing, but I will tell you, this is one way that even when, I used to pray. I remember about 20 years ago, I would go downstairs and in our house at the time and kneel and just get alone with the Lord and I would just be God. I just want to hear your voice and just, you know, speak to me, you know, and if it means sending an angel, I'm ready. I want to see an angel. God, has anybody ever had that prayer, or is that just me? I want to see an angel. I want a manifestation. So I'd pray for a little bit, and then I said, "Okay, I'm ready." And I look up. "God, please let me see, you know, I mean, my hunger and all of that," and then look up. And to this day, I've never seen an angel besides my wife. Come on. Husbands, take note. To this day, You know, and so in my immaturity at the time, I was wanting some kind of a physical manifestation to validate my faith, to validate what I believed. And so what I come to learn is Jesus said, Thomas, you know, Thomas said, I will not believe until I see, unless I put my finger in the holes of his hands, my hand in his side, I will not believe. Jesus showed up and said, you know, Thomas, you're believing because you see, but blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. You remember the centurion where he came to Jesus? This guy is not an Israelite. He is not a Jew. He does not, quote, have a covenant with God. He said, Jesus, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. And so his response was, you don't need to because I understand authority. If you'll just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus marveled and turned around and said, I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel. Wow. The Bible says that the righteous, the just, live by faith. And so I want to challenge you that to live your life in agreement with Scripture, not getting Scripture to agree with you. You can't change truth, but truth will change you. The Word of God is true. And so when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, whether you hear his voice or whether you think you have does not enter into the argument or the equation. If you're a child of the living God and you've made a decision, I'm going to believe and agree with what God has said over everything else, then I have a choice. I have a decision to make that regardless of whether I hear God's voice or not, that doesn't matter. Jesus said, I'm his sheep. I know his voice. I hear his voice. So I can turn to my neighbor and I can say, I hear God's voice. So say that to your neighbor. Now say it like you really mean it. I hear God's voice. Because you're his sheep. And that's your starting point. Amen? All right, so last week I talked to you, we've talked about that the Word of God is one of the number one ways that God speaks to you. Last week I talked to you about some of the things that's really important in the way that the Holy Spirit ministers, that really God's voice, as you're being led by the Spirit, is about knowings. You know things. You see pictures of things. Okay, it's not that he speaks. I said third person. Somebody corrected me and said I should have said second person. It's not that God speaks to you in second person and says, Mark, I want you to do this. That's not typically the way God speaks to me. If he does to you, then that's great. That's awesome that you've got that kind of relationship. I don't. So it's generally in knowings. I just know. I know, like Wednesday night. As we were activating some things and so all of a sudden I began to know, you know, I called Wendy Thomas up. God just kind of put her on my heart. So I said, come on up. I just believe God has for you something to share. And God had given her something to share, but she wasn't going to get up on her own. Later on, I did that with three or four other people. And then finally, it was so funny, at the end, I said, okay, we're going to, one more person, and God's really put this guy on my heart. And it was so funny because this guy was sitting there, he knew it was him. I said, Neil, it was Neil right here. He said when he walked in the door, his heart was, as God was showing him some things that he needed to share. And so it was like, man, the Holy Spirit pinpointed. But why? I just knew. It wasn't a, Mark, I need you to call Neil up. It wasn't like that. It was just this knowing. Many times just in my praying, and I want to talk to you about that, the Lord will put somebody on my mind. And I've learned, to begin with, sometimes I would just discount it. He would have a thought, and I would discount it. Why would that person thought? But what I started doing is, okay, if that came up out of nowhere, I believe that that's probably the Spirit of God. And so I've called, I can tell you three ministers that I've called over the last year or two when God put them on my mind, on my heart, you know, usually comes up out of your belly, flows the rivers of water. So I usually feel it in here. I'm just trying to give you some practical ideas of just knowing. And so I give them a call. They'll answer the phone. Hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, we're doing great. We'll chit chat for a little bit. And then all of a sudden I say, how's your finances? Well, you know, we're believing God for some things right now. You know, one of them had a medical issue. Another one had lost his job and couldn't pay his bills. Another one, the things that church had really taken a dive financially, and they were really struggling and trusting the Lord. And so in each one of those cases, I said, you know, I'm sending you $500. I'm sending you $1,000, you know, sending you different, you know, God positioned us as a church to be a blessing to other people. But you know, and that's what they needed in that moment. Amen. But what if I've never taken the time to develop, you know, and to respond to those promptings? See, I think it was Elijah that was in a cave, and God said, I want you to come out. I want to talk to you for a moment. And so he came out looking for the voice of God, and there was I think there was a whirlwind that came through. Big demonstration, but it said God wasn't in the whirlwind. There was fire that came through, you know, looking for a big sign. You know, God wasn't in the fire. There was an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. But then it says that there was a still, small voice. And that's where God began to talk to him. And you know, when I was looking for that manifestation of an angel, or, you know, I was looking for some big, a lot of times we're looking for some big way for God to communicate to us, when really as a child of God, we should really be attuned to hearing him every day in those knowings and those promptings. God says in another place, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to shut out the noise and be still so that we can hear the voice of God. It's not that he's not speaking, it's that there's a whole lot of things speaking in our lives. There's a lot of noise, Facebook, all these kinds of things. We're so distracted, we're so busy that we're not in tune with the things of God. Okay. All right, so the Spirit of God, here's what he does. Ways that he speaks, ways that God speaks, impressions, urgence, you know, there's an urging, man, I need to do this, and knowing things, peace. I'm ruled by peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts like an umpire would rule. And so if you don't have peace about something, what I do is I begin to pray about it. Like, for instance, if Jennifer and I decide we're going to go on a trip and we don't have peace, like we don't feel right, then we'll begin to pray. I'm going to pray about it. I want to get some insight. And we won't go until there's peace there. Because maybe there's something on the way. Maybe God's preventing us from being involved in a traffic accident, or being involved in something he sees. The Holy Spirit says he will show you things to come. How awesome is it to be hooked up to the one who knows what's coming, and we don't have to be surprised? Yes. Whew, man, it's an awesome life. Why would we not want the Holy Spirit in our lives? You know, I mentioned the still small voice. Another way that God leads us, as I talked about this last week, is by putting his desires in your heart. You have a strong desire to do something. God will never send you to Africa if you don't have the desire first to go. Okay? Amen. Another way, visions and dreams, and you can look through the book of Acts. But what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning to help you kind of tune in to the voice of God is about praying in the Spirit. Okay, now this is something that sometimes people get a little freaked out about, because unfortunately there's not a lot of churches nowadays that'll talk about what it means to pray in tongues and what that's about. And so what I want to do is kind of help you understand that. If this is an uncomfortable subject for you, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go straight to Scripture about it, so that you see what God's intent was for you. And what it is actually an encouragement to you that there's more available to you, that your communication to God, that you can step in a place that you are hearing the voice of God like you never knew was possible. And so it's not about what other people think about you. It's really about this vertical relationship that you have with the Father. And so I can tell you that being filled with the Spirit, what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to fill me up to where I can pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues, in another language every day. It's amazing to have a language that I can speak in that I've never cussed in. That's awesome. It's like I got a secret language, secret coded communication. You know, when I was a kid in school, girls had this secret language that they used between each other. And it was the weirdest language, and they called it Pig Latin. Okay, how many of you did that? How many of you? I hated that. It's like, I could hear the Arkme something. That means they were talking about me. But I had no idea what they were saying. Well, we have a secret language that we can communicate with God, and He can communicate right through us and to our spirit to where we can know things of God. So check this out. This is awesome. So just hang with me as I go through certain scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So I want you to see this. First Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll just start in verse 1. Pursue love. Pursue love. Somebody say, pursue love. Pursue love. Everything that we do from a place of love. And desire spiritual gifts. So guess what? Here we're told that it is a good thing that we need to desire spiritual gifts. Amen. In other words, most people go through life not desiring spiritual gifts because they don't understand it. And they've not been taught properly about it. And so they're just fine trying to live, you know, what we end up doing is trying to live carnally or naturally and not realize that we have all of the goods that heaven has available to us, all of Jesus, all of the Holy Ghost to help lead us and guide us. Like we literally live life as Christians with 1/10 or 1/100th of the knowledge and the power and what's available to us. And it's the reason why so many Christians are defeated and they struggle and they never experience real victory in their lives. But here he says, as we pursue love, let's also desire spiritual gifts. So that's a good thing, to desire spiritual gifts. He says, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, we're talking about these things on Wednesday night. So I'm not going to go into that, but prophecy is for other people, okay? But look at this in verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue or an unknown language does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So here's the thing that you need to understand. Tongues or speaking in an unknown language is not for other people. It's not to demonstrate how spiritual you are. It's not to show them, you know, how you've got it down and how you can just pronounce every syllable or whatever that is great. It's not for any of that. It's not for the rest of the church. It is personally for you. It is direct communication between you and God. Okay, we've got to get that. You have to get that established. It's direct communication between you and God. It says here, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So you speak to God, for no one understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Remember that. Remember that. How in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So that's for other people. But look at this. He who speaks in that unknown language or tongue, check this out. He builds himself up. He edifies himself. You know, there are times in life that you can be so down that you need to be built up. You need to be encouraged. And sometimes you don't need to call other people to encourage you. Amen. You need God to encourage you. You need to hear the Spirit of God. One of the things that the Spirit of God does is He witnesses to you. Check this out. As the Bible says in Galatians that the Spirit witnesses and confirms to us that we are children of God. When sometimes you feel like you're not worthy, sometimes you feel like you're not valued, sometimes you feel like you're just down and the world's against you, that you need to know the Spirit of God will come in as you pray in an unknown tongue, as you start praying what we call praying in the Spirit, all of a sudden there's a building up that takes place. The Spirit of God says, no, you are valued. You are so precious. I sent my son for you. You are now my son. You are now my daughter. You are children of the Most High God. You're a joint heir. You are victorious. He starts telling you who you are and identifying to you. All of a sudden, you start knowing and you start rising up and you're like, yeah, that's who I am. I'm a mighty man of God. I'm a mighty man of valor. There's nothing the devil can do. What shall I fear? And Scripture starts coming. The Spirit of God is telling you who you are in Christ, revealing Jesus to you, building you up. This is an awesome thing. I'm telling you, I pray in the Spirit every single day. It's one of the most important things in my life. I need to be built up. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Turn with me over to Jude, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. And if you'll go down to verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You're not building up your faith. Sometimes people have misinterpreted this. He's not saying you're building up your faith. He says he's building you up. You're building yourself up. Say, I'm being built.
I'm being built,
I'm being built up.
I'm being built up.
And you're being built up. Like if you're building a house on the foundation of your faith. We're being built up by your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Spirit does something. It builds me up. But what is it build? It's building me up on my most holy faith. It's building me up on what I am established. It's building me up on my faith in Jesus. It's causing me to discover some things. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just wanting to give you some scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you, Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 1 says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. In other words, Paul said, when I came to you, I wasn't just naturally telling you something. Okay? He said, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let's look at verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God wants His power coursing through you, operating in you, operating through you. And then He says in verse 6, remember in chapter 14 where it says we speak mysteries? We speak mysteries. Look at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age. So he's not speaking natural wisdom or worldly wisdom, which come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. How did Paul get this wisdom, hidden mysteries, praying in the Spirit? In chapter 14, he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. He said, it is my desire that every one of you do it. Why? Because you're getting hooked up. What happens? Listen, when you are born again and then when you are filled with the Spirit of God, your spirit is connected with all the resources of heaven, the power of God that was on Jesus's life, the one that knows it all. We saw last week in 1 John chapter 2 that says, you know all things. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a know-it-all. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know it. Okay. He says, you have an anointing from God and you already know all things. So here's the issue. I don't need to get knowledge. I don't need to get wisdom. Listen, check this out. What I need to do is draw out the knowledge and the wisdom that I already have. See, we've had a wrong, you know, a lot of times people have a wrong mindset. God, I'm trying to get wisdom. God, I need more knowledge. God, I need understanding. And so again, our position is a place of, you know, a lack of something that I don't have. The life of the believer, the transformation comes when we recognize we already have it. I already know all things. Now, what happens is, what's happening, what I know in my spirit needs to get to my brain. Because my brain don't know everything. So you being a know-it-all is only in this area.
Amen.
Is not up here. So what I need to do is figure out what's here and get it here. How do I do that? Praying in the spirit. As I pray in the spirit, what happens is it says that as I pray, my spirit prays. Does this make sense? My spirit's praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. So there's another scripture in Romans chapter 8 says that when we don't know what to pray for, the spirit does and makes intercession. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for your neighbor, for your family or whatever. So just pray in the spirit. This is why this is so important, because the spirit knows how to pray. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Listen, because we have authority, get this, we have authority here in this realm, in this earth. God gave you, God gave humanity, God gave man dominion and authority, and so nothing happens in this earth without man involved. God doesn't do things except through man's authority. This is the reason why Jesus had to come as a man, because the first Adam gave authority away. And so the last Adam, Jesus, as a man, had to get authority back. And so when we pray in the Spirit, what happens, we're allowing the Spirit of God, who rules and reigns in us, to declare things through us to become established in this earth. So it's not just about you. It's about you reigning as a king and a priest here in the earth. See? And so we affect, the reason why the world can be in the mess that it's in is because the church hasn't understand that it is the governmental body in this realm. I don't have time to get into that. But it is the governmental. Jesus is the head. It is his kingdom now.
That's right.
His kingdom was established. He's the head. And the Bible says that the government is on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Doesn't say the government's on his head. The government's on his shoulders. Well, who's the shoulders and all the way down of Jesus? We are. Daniel chapter 7 says that the saints of the Most High will possess the kingdom.
Yes.
And rule and reign. You need to connect this to not just hearing the voice of God, but to how you are a joint heir with Christ and you are working with him. God is in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to co-labor. We co-labor with him. We work together with him. And so to pray in the Spirit gives me the opportunity to yield to him and to obey him and to be used by him to establish his reign and his authority here on the earth. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay. So here, it tells us that he's speaking the hidden wisdom. Okay, now, just go down to verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That we might know. Somebody say that we might know. Okay, so let me just give you some practical things to think about. If you've never prayed in the Spirit, it's not weird. It's not hard. It's actually very easy. Every person in the book of Acts that got filled with the Spirit, something happened. Something happened. As Stephen comes up just to play a little bit, I just want you to just to think about this. In three of the cases, we know particularly that they begin to speak in other tongues. And then all of a sudden, something happened. There's a rushing that comes in. Out of your belly flows rivers of living water. With the other two, there was definite evidence that something happened. It just doesn't say what. God wants you in a place that you can, that He can communicate in you and that He can communicate through you. Hallelujah. And it's not hard. It's very easy. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, that's the first step. It's to say yes to Him. I want to yield my life to Lord, come and fill me up. And then you're a new wineskin ready for new wine. You're ready to be filled with the Spirit of God in a way that you never thought was possible. I'm telling you, this literally has changed our lives. And so just to show you how easy it is, and so that you're comfortable with it, it's just not hard. I can begin to pray just right now. As I'm praying, my spirit is praying. The Spirit of God is praying through me. As I'm praying, some of you, you'll just feel that quickening of the Spirit in you. You'll just see. Kora manda si la manda la kite la mande. Embrondo shkrabata la sine ne manga da si kere manda. Kore mende ne ne. And while I'm doing it, see, now I'm thinking about other things, but then knowings and things like that will begin to happen. This happens a lot for me, like during worship, that I'm singing in the Spirit. I do that more often than I am in singing in English, to be honest with you. I'm just saying, Lord, what are you saying right now? I'm just focused on Him. Kodra manda la sike de manda la kite. Embrondo shkrabate leneneski. Embranda leneneski ibuki. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for an outpouring of your Spirit right now in Jesus' name. So here's what I want to encourage you. You hear the voice of God. When I do that, then all of a sudden, God will begin to just show me some things. They're just some knowings. Perhaps it's somebody that needs help in a given moment. Sometimes I'll do that in the middle of a service if I need to, because if I've kind of lost direction, God, what are you saying in this moment? I want to make sure that we're following Him. I want to make sure that I'm focused on Him. And then the Spirit of God will begin to rise up. Will begin to rise up. And it's something that you can do at home. It's something that you can do in your car. It's something that you don't wait for the Spirit of God to come. He's always there, ever present with you. And you get to hear His voice. And you get to flow more. I mean, the more and the more, there's just more and there's more.